Hello, and thank you for listening to our series, OE Talks. We're excited to bring you something new and special for our 30th anniversary of the Opportunity Exchange, which is accessible education. So what does that mean? It's education when it makes sense for your busy schedule. You're not limited to learning during our one-day event, but instead, when you have a few extra minutes within your day. In the future, we plan to share some key messages with our supplier partners as well as our supplier diversity colleagues throughout the year, and not just for our Opportunity Exchange and Power of Exchange events. Our plan is that these messages will be timely on activities that you are doing throughout the course of the year. Today, our topic is executive commitment. Our hope is that during today's talk, we can help you understand what each of our organizations are doing to engage all levels within our organization and maybe help you try to figure out solutions to a problem that you may have encountered. My name is Chuck Hendricks, and I'm the Senior Manager of Supplier Diversity at Toyota, and I've been a part of Team Toyota for over 23 years. Joining me today are two of my colleagues and dear friends from Merck and Procter & Gamble, or P&G as we affectionately know them. But I'll let them introduce themselves. Raul, would you like to start?
Yes, I will. Thank you, Chuck. Thank you for having me. My name is Raul Suarez Rodriguez, and I lead the Economic Inclusion Supply Diversity Program here at Merck.
Great. And this is Nalini Bates from Procter & Gamble. Thanks so much for having me today, Chuck. I lead our Supplier Citizenship Program at P&G.
Great. Thank you all for taking some time out of your schedules today. All right, let's get started. Executive commitments are vital to any supplier diversity program. And at Toyota, we have a commitment from our CEO, Jim Lentz, who is engaged with all of our supplier diversity efforts and within our program. What about you guys? Does Merck have an executive commitment to diversity, Raul?
Totally. So our commitment starts from the top, and I think it's really important that, you know, your program is supported, you know, from the top down, because I think that's going to drive, you know, the inclusion, that's going to drive the ability for us to really be innovative and really, you know, fulfill a mission. In our case, we are inventing for life. We're finding cure to weird diseases. We're, you know, we're working on oncology, infectious diseases, and it is important that, you know, we look at the diversity of our communities to really determine what is needed for us to bring that innovation forward. So our executive committee is fully on board. Actually, this is a practice and it's something that they measure on a quarterly basis, where they are looking for the numbers on how well we're doing and what is that impact we're driving when we're actually utilizing diverse suppliers for everything that we do to support our operations.
Great. Nalini?
Yeah, P&G, I have to agree with a lot of what Raul said. I mean, without the commitment from the top, I think our work would be much more challenging than it already is. We have a commitment from our CEO. In fact, he has met with some of our advisory council, which I think we'll talk about later. But it is so important that every one of our executives draw a parallel between the importance of diversity for our employee base and our workforce around the world, but also to the supply chain, because there are benefits that diversity brings, like innovation and creativity, and to solve some of our business challenges, that's what you need.
That's good information. So, Nalini, why do you think it's important to have an executive commitment?
Yeah, I think, you know, we touched upon a little bit already, but we view it in two ways, actually. I think there's a corporate angle to it, and then there's the business angle. And we really have commitment from both. Our corporate team, we work very closely with our HR colleagues, again, as we try to encourage our internal buyers to value supplier diversity, but also make sure all of our stakeholders internally and externally understand why we invest in the program. It's really important that we have one message with our diversity and inclusion professionals in HR. And then on the business side, there are a lot of brands that you know, want to market to a consumer base that is diverse. And so how do we speak to them and engage with them on our problems, utilizing and leveraging the diverse suppliers that we have in our supply chains? I think it's so important that we find suppliers that think differently, that come from a different background, that have overcome adversity, because that oftentimes leads to better business solutions.
Excellent. And at Toyota, we have a robust program that is reflective of our customers, our team members, our suppliers, as well as our dealers in the communities in which we serve. They play such an important piece to the things that we're doing here at Toyota with regard not only from the sales aspect, which I think both of you have really touched upon, but also from our team members and finding those creative and innovative solutions or different ways of solving problems within an organization and hopefully enhancing the business as a whole. So I greatly appreciate your responses there.
Let me add something, Sean.
Go ahead.
About
Go ahead,
that
bro.
Also, I think that it's important to highlight is especially those are regulated. So it's important also for the business standpoint because we're regulated by some of the government agencies. So that also becomes important to the executive committee because not meeting those expectations, then we will be doing. We would do executing that business with that, with that side of the house. And also, I would add into the corporate social responsibility and sustainability. So I think that is something that, our functions are training a little bit. For instance, my colleague here, she does supplier citizenship, and I think some of the things included in the citizenship becomes the sustainability. So I think we also work together with the CSR group. This is a corporate social responsibility group to really drive this and really have a cohesive, understanding of what diversity in general is, and we take a holistic approach when we look at all the things that we just mentioned here.
Great. So what about having a written supplier diversity policy? Do either of your organizations have those?
So we do. At PNG, we talk a lot with our new buyers around the importance of including diverse suppliers when they go out to bid and making sure that they understand the business needs holistically for when they're out looking for suppliers. I think, we don't have a public target, but we do have internal targets and measures that we track very closely.
Mm-hmm. And what about you, Ro?
And I also the same here. We do have targets internally for our procurement organization, and we do have a policy that is actually on our website, is visible to any supplier or potential supplier that would like to do business with us, and same policy is applicable internally. So policy is important because I think that's what is going to drive the behaviors on those that are supporting the inclusion across your procurement organization.
Excellent. Yeah, and at Toyota, we have a written policy also. I won't recite it, but it's on our website as well at onetoyotasupplierdiversity.com, where our commitment is stated and located under our commitment section of our website. And our policy really coincides with our guiding principles of the Toyota Way, which is continuous improvement and respect for people. And we're encouraged to challenge the status quo and be collaborative in our relationships and every aspect of our businesses as we move forward as a whole. So it's great to have a written policy. I think that not only from a public perspective, it's important where outside the outside world can see inside of an organization to see that our companies are committed to the things that we're saying and doing, but also to our team members, and I'm sure your team members as well, that show that we value the work of everybody from all sections or all sectors of the country and as well as the world. So moving on, I've heard of supplier diversity groups being in many different places within an organization, whether it's purchasing, HR, diversity and inclusion, etc. At Toyota, we were located within our purchasing division where we can have very close ties to our procurement members and hopefully get an advantage in terms of or get ahead of the curve, if you will, in terms of understanding what opportunities may be coming down the pipe. Where are your diversity groups housed within your organizations? And I'll start with Raul.
So we're housed within a global supply management group. So I think it makes sense as a global enterprise to really be, to your point, be connected to those individuals that are actually going through sourcing and making those buying decisions. So I think that makes it easier in a way, right? Also, we have dotted lines to our social responsibility team and also with our D&I, our global diversity and inclusion team.
Okay. And Eleni?
We also sit in what we call our purchasing function at P&G. So I actually report to our chief procurement officer, who is very much engaged in the supplier diversity work we do. And because of that role, I also sit on the lead on our CPO's lead team.
Great, great. So, Nalini, how is supplier diversity implemented or integrated within your organization?
Yeah, this has been a journey, right? I think our supplier diversity program is about 40 years old, which some people then hear that and think, oh, then you guys must have this figured out, which is not necessarily true. I would say the challenges always evolve. And so right now we are actually in the middle of an organization restructuring, whereas before all of our purchasing organization reported up through our CPO in a central function. And effective this past July 1, we've actually embedded buyers into each of our six business sectors. So implementing supplier diversity is now going to change a little bit going forward versus where we were in the past. We have to do a lot more influencing to the leaders of our individual business units so they understand not only the work that's being done today, but also the potential. I think the timing is great. I think, as you both know, consumers are asking more and more about what corporations are doing to make this a better world. And I think supplier diversity has such a great foundation and story to tell. So we're working really hard in the next couple of years to bring that to life through commercialization with our brands, which is a little different than where we've been in the past.
Raul?
So here in our case, you know, is integrated through the whole global sourcing and supply management group. So I think I mentioned earlier each of the functions that support each of our business line will have the influencing decision making type of point where they can actually talk to the business stakeholders. Our program also has been around for 34 years this year, so I think being centralized and being this mature really enables that that continuity. However, what we have found is that we need to do refreshes. And, you know, to Nalene's point, this is a perfect time now. We're going to go into roadshows coming up, you know, next year, celebrating our 35th year, to do a little big push on internal, because I think, you know, people rotate and move and go to different functions. So we want to make sure that the people that remains, is, you know, keep, you know, supply diversity in their front line.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah, and at Toyota, we do it through something that's called our annual plan, which is really like a business plan that we do annually through our diversity scorecards and our performance reviews, whereby it's just like anything else. What gets measured gets done. And within the Toyota team, especially as it really relates to supplier diversity, all of my members on our team are actually integrated into, or have responsibility, I should say, with all of our procurement group. And so they're meeting on a monthly or bi-monthly basis to have some good, strong interaction in terms of understanding when vehicles may be launching or when those new opportunities may be coming down the pipe, so we can insert, at least in the RFQ process, our diverse suppliers to give them those opportunities. In the past, we really hadn't done that. If I can think back, I had this job 21 years ago, and then I came back to the role about 5 years ago. But we really didn't have a good, strong process in terms of integrating our members into our purchasing opportunities that may be coming down the pipe. So when I returned, I wanted to make sure that we changed that in terms of making sure that each of our team members within the supplier diversity team had a good understanding of those opportunities that may be coming down the pipe. So, and we do those diversity scorecards in each team or each division, as well as each of the pillars within our company are giving a rating with regard to their supplier diversity efforts from their performance. So it's good to have those things, as I mentioned earlier, in terms of things that are getting measured, obviously get done. So Raul, do you have a supplier diversity advisory board, whether it's internal or external?
Yes, we do. We have what we call Economic Inclusion Leadership Council, who is internal. We don't have anybody external. However, we hope to start integrating as part of our quarterly meeting some of external speakers that can support support the vision of the council. And pretty much, you know, what the council is here to do is to serve as a peer coaches and role models, having significant strike in managing supply diversity to yield business results across the teams and across the enterprise. They're focused on different initiatives and policies and tools that can help us continue to drive, contribute to drive that inclusion, continue to drive that number of jobs that are being created based on those relationships we're building to with those other suppliers we're doing business with. We want them to be our champions. We want them to be visible and verbal champions. So they go and attend different trade shows and events. They sometimes serve as speakers, both internally and externally, depending on their area of responsibility or depending on the show or the event that we're attending to. It's a pretty active group. Even though we meet on a quarterly basis, they also have the subcommittee or the steering committee underneath that big group will meet every 2 months. So that keeps us fresh, that keeps us aligned to what's happening, and we could tap into them to be the sponsors for any new initiative that we want to be rolling out that can support what we're trying to do with the program.
Excellent. And how about you, Nalini, at P&G?
Yes, we love advisory councils at P&G. So we have an advisory group internal specific to supplier diversity, and we also actually have a specific external council too. So we have a group of not only strategic diverse owned suppliers, but also some thought leaders in supplier diversity that meet about three times a year face to face. And it's a little bit of a give and get both ways. We like to use them to make sure that we're on track for where we want to take our supplier diversity program and how we engage with suppliers. And we also give them an opportunity to engage with our leadership and address any challenges they have. So it's been a great way for us to ensure that we are, relevant and are leading the thinking on supplier diversity. And quite frankly, I think it's a super important role that they can play for us.
Yeah, Toyota, we also have an external diversity advisory board, which is led by former Secretary of Labor Alexis Herman, along with five other high-profile external members that really seek to do three things. They hold us accountable for the things that we either say we're going to do or should be doing, and then they also provide great advice to us in terms of our maybe next-level opportunities that we should be seeking or things that we should be doing from a diversity standpoint. And then they're also advocates for us when we need to have something or have an issue where they seek to, because of their high-profile situations or people that they may know, they act as advocates for Toyota on behalf of the company as well. And it's a group that we meet with, much like you, Nalini, on a maybe two times a year, two, three times a year. And, of course, we'll have some sporadic phone calls with them. And then, of course, they're always available to us if we had any emergency type situation that we would be facing as well. But it's a group that they pull no punches. If you will, if we're doing something wrong or we should be doing something to improve, such as on our Toyota Way demonstrates from continuous improvement, they're going to challenge us on it. And they do really well in terms of, challenging the status quo and doing things differently as we move forward. I'd like to talk a little bit about what impact you guys have seen within your organizations from a supplier diversity perspective. And maybe we'll start with you, Nalini.
Yeah, this is, there's a lot to talk about here, right? I think when, as each of our experiences, over time, you see great impact within your organization and within your supplier ecosystem for the work we do. If I pick just one, I think what I'm finding is, especially recently, a lot of our new hires that are, you know, less than 5 years with the company feel really proud about engaging on supplier diversity. They really feel like this is a place where they can make impact to help leave the world a better place at a corporation that they never would have imagined as possible. I think a lot of folks think, oh, I have to be, you know, join a nonprofit or an NGO to make social impact. And what I love about the supplier diversity program is it engages buyers because they have a passion for it and they understand the business need for supplier diversity.
Excellent. How about you, Raul and Mark?
So, impact has been tremendous, and, you know, like I said, it's 34 years this year, and we have seen a lot. And I think, you know, one of the things that we're most proud of is that we are accelerating the growth and innovation of our competitive advantage. When you look at the work we do and how we're leveraging some of the tools and resources that supply diversity can bring forward to really execute on the business side. And then we're creating a circle of inclusion between the profit, the product, and the pipeline, which is critical to our role of inventing for life. So I think, you know, keeping those three P's together will make a big difference, and I think that's what we have been doing throughout the years. And another mission that we started to talk about is we know that, you know, social factors will determine 40% of your health. So knowing that and in the healthcare pharma industry is important for this role. So one of the things that we're going to be talking into, you know, next year or so is how we change the conversation from spend numbers to impact spending. How are we driving that impact in terms of jobs being created, in terms of the social determinants, in terms of the brand. So we're getting deep into that, and we're going to be showcasing a few of those data points coming 2020.
Well, those are excellent points that you make up, and those are all things that we really all should be doing. And we're also at Toyota trying to do the exact same thing. You know, the awareness portion is very critical at Toyota. All of our new hires go through diversity training just from a just diversity of people standpoint. But then my team is actually responsible for the actual supplier diversity training. And it amazes me sometimes to see the smiles and the interesting looks that when we put on those trainings in terms of people that are understanding what the impact is of supplier diversity to our company as a whole and how we're trying to integrate and lift people up to have a good understanding of the supplier diversity program in and of itself. You know, I mentioned earlier in terms of things that, you know, we're big on numbers in terms of understanding, you know, what gets measured, gets done, and challenging people to understand that this is an important initiative, just like quality and delivery and innovation. Supplier diversity is just as important to our organization as a whole, and then it allows us to, in that training, it allows us to expand and let people know. Inevitably, we always get questions in terms of, oh, I didn't know we were doing that within our organization, or oh, I didn't know we were doing this, or how can I get involved, which is really what we like to hear in terms of how can they enhance our program and how can they make an influence and a difference within our organization as a whole. So appreciate those comments. So kind of as we close out today's session, I'd like to maybe ask both of you, Nalini and Raul, just kind of any additional advice that you would offer up to this particular training or to suppliers or anybody that's listening to our organization or to our OE Talks broadcast as a whole.
Yeah, I think one additional thing that we all think about is how to collaborate effectively. So we are all on the same mission. This tends to be an area where we call it pre-competitive. So how do we help each other make progress on impacting economic inclusion in the U.S.? And so the more we collaborate, the more we can talk to each other. I think we can amplify our results tremendously.
Excellent. Raul?
Yeah, I will second that. We do a little bit of collaboration, but I think we need to be more intentional in those collaborations and really make this collaboration to be more impactful in a way, right? Because sometimes, yes, we are in this ecosystem and this network, but at the same time, we become working in silos. I think, you know, thinking global, on how we can only only affect the U.S., but also around the globe. You have presence around the globe. How to really come up with new strategic ways to really drive what we're trying to do here, and not try to recreate the wheel. So, you know, leverage among ourselves and things that we're creating to really make this more powerful. I think this is an example of that, and I appreciate that I got invited to it.
Good. Yeah, we can't expand upon that enough with regard to the collaboration and benchmark sharing those things that we have all within this particular space. We all have competitors in our different industries, and I think it's important that we set those aside when we start talking about diversity and supplier diversity specifically, and talk about how we can lift each other up in this journey of supplier diversity and diversity as a whole. So with that, we'll end today's session of OE Talks, and I want to thank both Nalini from Procter & Gamble and Raul from Merck, and thank you for taking some time out of your day, and we hope this has been a beneficial OE Talk for you as you listen to us today. Thank you, and goodbye.